Good morning, everyone. I'm Guofei. This morning, we'll be very happy to talk with you about some of our recent research on botnet detection, bot miner. Maybe some of you have heard about our previous work on botnet detection, like bot hunter, bot sniffer, and you are eager to know so the difference. As the title suggests, the main difference is bot miner is a general detection framework that can detect botnets regardless of the protocol and structure. This is a joint work with Roboto, Jinjie, and Wenki. This is the roadmap of my talk today. First, I will give you some background on botnet problem. I will talk about the challenges for botnet detection. And then I will review some related work in this field and talk about why they are not enough. Then I will present our work on bot miner. I will introduce the motivation, the design, and also the evaluation results. Finally, I will conclude my talk and point out some future work. The first problem I'm going to talk is about the definition of bot and botnet. A bot is essentially a malicious software, a malware instance that can run automatically and autonomously on your computer without your consent. Different from previous generation of malware that is mainly fun-driven, bots and botnets, they are mainly profit-driven, which means they are designed to make money for bad guys. So they are very professionally written and widely spread it. According to FinServ, the internet father, about 25% of internet PCs are part of botnet. Your computer may be also part of this botnet. So what is a botnet? Essentially, all these bots on the internet, they can be united together by a single bad guy we call botmaster. So this coordinated group of malware, coordinated group of bots that are controlled by a bot master via some command and control channel, some CNC channel. This graph shows a typical structure of botnet, a centralized botnet. Here, the bot master controls its bot army through a centralized CNC server. This server can be an IRC server or HTTP server, or even this CNC structure can be distributed, can be P2P. So what are these botnets used for? Actually, they are now the root cause for a lot of attacks and illegal activities. They are used as the key platform and resources for the following attacks and activities. First, all distributed denied service attacks are now launched from botnet platform. A recent well-known example is DDoS attack against Estonian government. Most of the spam on internet is sent from botnets. The percentage range from 80% to 95%. And the botnets, they can also launch click fraud attack to make real money, to make easy money for the bot master. And bots on your local computer can steal your credit card information, your confidential ID information and passwords. They can use to launch phishing sites and distribute other unwanted or malicious software like spyware. So I think now you may be convinced that botnets, they are bad and it's a serious problem. Now let's look at about defense. First of all, let's see why defense is hard or what's the challenge that for botnet detection. First, there are four challenges I list here. First, bots are very stealthy on your local computer. They can encrypt their binary. They can use rootkit technique to hide themselves from detection. So in this research, we focused on a network-based solution. Second, bot infection is usually a multifaceted and multi-faced process. This means only looking at a very specific aspect is likely to fail, because it loses the big picture. Third, bots are dynamically evolving. For example, they keep update their binary and even more frequent than you update your signature base. So a static or signature-based approach is not desirable. Finally, botnets, they have very flexible design of command and control, CNC. They can easily change from IRC to HTTP, from centralized to distributed to P2P. So a solution which is very specific to a certain instance of botnets is not desirable. Now the question is, can we use existing detection technique instead of specific botnet detection technique? Now let's look at some existing technique, why they are not enough. First, traditional AV tool, antivirus tool. As I said earlier, bots can use Packer. They can use rootkit to hide themselves, and they can frequently update themselves. So they can easily defeat existing AV tool. Traditional intrusion detection system and intrusion prevention system, they mainly look at incoming traffic and try to identify malicious events from a very specific point of view. Thus, they are likely to lose the big picture. Finally, honeypots and honeynets techniques. They are very useful to collect and track botnets. However, by themselves, they are not a good botnet detection tool. Next, let's review some relevant work in botnet detection and see why they are not enough. Here, I will not go to the detail of each work, but I will highlight the main limitation of each approach. First, Binkley and Singh, they proposed IRC based botnet detection. This technique is very limited to certain type or certain instance of IRC bots. Second, Rishi is a signature based botnet detection. So the limitation is very clear. AT&T and BBN, they all proposed their botnet detection solution, which are based on network flow level statistic information. And the main limitation is that their solution is mainly for IRC-based botnets. Last year in Usenet Security Conference, we present Bot Hunter, which is a dialogue-based correlation approach to detect botnets. And the main limitation of Bot Hunter is that it relies on a predefined infection dialogue model. Bot Sniffer is a later system we proposed in NDSS, which uses a spatial-temporal correlation to try to identify group similarity among the bot member. The main limitation is that Bot Sniffer is designed to detect centralized botnet CNC. TEMP is another system proposed recently, and it has a similar idea of bot sniffer, and also the similar limitation is that it can only use to detect centralized botnet CNC. Okay, now let's see why we need botminer. As I said earlier, botnets, they are very flexible. They can change their CNC content using encryption. So signature-based approach is likely to be flawed. They can change their protocols from IRC to HTTP. They can change their structure from centralized to P2P. And they can easily switch their CNC server and change their infection models. The question here is, can we design better solution which is resistant to change of CNC technique so that we design a technique which is likely to detect future botnets even they can change their CNC technique? That's why we present botminer. Here, as I list here, a few well-known examples of P2P botnet recently, like Nugatch and Storm, particularly Storm is very famous, I think. So Bot Miner is our solution. This is a new detection system that is general, and it can detect botnets regardless of the protocol and structure used in CNC. There are two fundamental heuristics here. We observe that bots, they are designed for long-term use. And second, we are going to detect a botnet, which means, and we observe that the members in a botnet is likely to demonstrate a similar or coordinated communication and activity patterns. I will give you details shortly. But here, essentially demonstrate our system deployed at the perimeter of the network and try to detect if there are any bots within this network. And we based on horizontal correlation, which means we try to identify the group similarity across multiple hosts. To understand bot miner, let's revisit the definition of a botnet. A botnet is a coordinated group of malware instances that are controlled by a bot master via some CNC channel. Here, I list three key things, three likely invariants. Malware, which means bots are used to do bad things. They are designed to launch malicious tasks, and most of them maybe have network level observation. Second, they are controlled, which means there should be a command and control channel where the bot master can issue the command and ask the bot army to execute. And finally, they are a coordinated group, which means essentially they try to do this communication or activity in a similar or coordinated way because they are predefined by software. They are not human-driven. They are bot-driven, and they essentially have the same command and control logic, and they try to receive the same command and do similar things. Based on this definition, we conclude that we should monitor two planes. First, C plane. It's essentially this the way it's where the CNC communication will be, and we try to detect who is talking to whom. And the second plane is A plane, activity plane. We try to identify who is doing what. And then, so based on who is talking to whom, we further look at who are talking to whom in similar patterns and who are doing what in similar patterns. Further, we can do a cross-plane clustering and find a group of hosts that they are doing similar communication and also similar activities. This is the architecture of bot miner. At high level, there are two main components, monitoring components in both A plan and C plan, and also correlation plan, correlation components in A and C plan. And finally, there is a cross-plane correlation. When network traffic comes in, A plan monitor will try to identify lot of events, and the detailed design of this monitor are in the paper. And also the C-plan monitor try to essentially capture the network flow, and we use a dedicated flow capture. After these activity log and flow log are captured, we do further analysis, because the previous stage captures who is talking to whom and who is doing what. And later on, A-plan clustering will try to identify who are doing what, in what kind of patterns, and do a clustering to try to identify a group that are doing similar activities. And similarly, C-plan clustering will cluster those similar communication patterns together. And further, cross-plane correlator will identify if whether they are the same group of bots that share both similar communication patterns and activity patterns. Next, I will show you some high-level design of these correlation components. First, C-plane clustering. So this shows the basic flow, how it works. Essentially, for the network net flow record, we do some basic pre-processing, and then so we aggregate the flow records into our defined C flow, which is called communication flow. Essentially, a C flow captures some communication between a local host and a remote service. So this is a four tuple. We can ignore local port because we think it's not important to recognize the communication path. And I will further talk about this C flow and the features. But essentially, the high level idea is that based on this C flow, we will extract some useful features, and then we will do multi-step clustering. And finally, we generate C-plan report. So how do we capture who is talking to who in what kind of patterns? So we define the following features, like the first two, bytes per second and flow per hour. Essentially, this captures some temporal-related information. And notice, we used a statistical distribution. This shows an example of the random chosen user who visit Google, and we plot its distribution information in these features. And another two features we use is spatial-related statistical distribution information in bytes per packet per flow. Because we will do a clustering, right? And if you look at this distribution information, this is unbounded. In order to simplify the clustering, we do approximate distribution, and we divide this into 13 scales or 13 intervals. And this is the scaled view of fitting pattern, and the details are in the paper. These features and this statistical distribution information essentially can capture who talking in what kind of pattern, and you note that these features currently they do not rely on the content of the packet payload. Now, so we will further do two multi-layer clustering. So the first question you may ask, why do we need multi-layer, multi-step? The answer is simple, because if we do a single layer clustering, because the size of the number of C-flow will be large, the clustering will be very slow. So we use the two-step approach. First, we do a coarse-grained clustering using faster clustering algorithm and simple features and small number of features. And then, so here, like this circle shows the first layer clustering. And then we do a fine-grained clustering using a full set of features. And further class. So what's left? Even after this two-step clustering, there probably is not still not enough, because there may be some non-board cluster into the board, and there might be one botnet divided into some sub-botnets. But don't worry. So we will address this problem by doing a A-plane clustering and doing cross-plane correlation. Similarly, so here we do A-plane clustering, and here we also do a two-layer cluster, and the first layer based on which type of activity, and second layer based on some features. And again, so this captures activities in what kind of patterns, and you can find details in the paper. Finally, so we do cross-plane correlation. I will give you a high-level idea. So first, we calculate we call it botnet score for every host. So essentially, we try to identify those active hosts are likely bots. And if this score is greater than the threshold, we will further be clustered. If they are not greater than the threshold, we will maybe ignore them. Okay, in the next step, for those highly likely bots, we'll do a hierarchy clustering, and we define a similarity score. And the intuition behind this formula to calculate the score is that like two hosts in the same app clusters and in at least one common seek cluster will be clustered together. And this shows an example of hierarchy clustering. I will not go to the details, but I'll leave your detail in the paper for you to read. And now, so I will go to some evaluation results. First of all, let's see the evaluation trace we used. There are two types of traces. First is normal trace. Here we pick 10 days network traffic at College of Computing in Georgia Tech network background. You can see every day there are billions of packets and millions of flows, and this shows basic statistic information. And second, we use some captured botnet traces, about 10. We reuse some of the traces we use in BotSniffer, like some IRC bot and some HTTP bot. We add a few new bot traces, like this one, botnet IRC. This is a real botnet captured in the wild, which contains more than 200 bots, real world bots. And we also add two P2P bots captured in wild, which use a technique we call a Wiener bot, essentially a lightweight honeypot technique. And there are 13 and 82 these P2P bots. You can see the botnet traces we select cover the three main types of botnets we can see today, IRC, HTTP, and P2P. First of all, let's look at some false positive results on the 10 days of traffic. As you can see, these highlight. So essentially, this showed for the false positive clusters. And in each day, there are about from zero to at most four false positive clusters generated each day. And this is actually very slow. And if you look at the number of hosts in this cluster, mostly there are only two hosts. They are false positive. And this demonstrates a low false positive rate. Now, the more important thing is about the detection rate. We mix the IRC, we mix the botnet traces into the one-day normal traces. And we mix that in a way so that we essentially inject the botnet trace on the normal trace so that a normal host have both botnet traffic and also normal traffic. As you can see, first, the detection rate is very high. We achieve almost no perfect detection rate. And essentially, you can see here, for this real-world IRC bots, which has more than 200 bots, we only missed one. And for these P2E botnets, we capture all of them. So this demonstrates a very promising result. In short, so in this work, we present a new botnet detection system based on horizontal correlation. And this is new because it is independent of botnet CNC technique, the independent of the structures and the protocols used by botnet. So it can potentially capture future botnets. Even they can change their protocols. They can change their CNC structures. And we also showed real-world evaluation results. For future work, so we are trying to find more efficient clustering, and we try to find more robust features. As any intrusion detection or anomaly detection tool, bot miner is not perfect. And it can be evaded by some adversary if they know our algorithm. So we are trying to list the possible evasion and possible solutions in a paper, and you can find it in detail. And in the future, we'll try to find some more robust features, robust against evasion. And we are trying to design faster detection system because bot miners currently use offline correlation, and the feature used historic statistical information, which essentially require a long time monitoring. So in next, we design a new system called Bot Probe, try to use active techniques to accelerate the detection time. And we are also finding a new real-time detection solution for very high-speed network, like 10 gigabps, and very large networks, like ISP level. Finally, BotMiner joins the family of our correlation-based botnet detection framework. Currently, we have three correlation techniques and four detection systems. That's the end of my talk today. Thank you, and now I'd like to take any of your questions or comments.
So, Simpson Garfinkel, I have a question about your evaluation technique. You evaluated by taking traces from a known botnet and then layering on top of that normal data. So in your evaluation, you found what you put in the evaluation data set to find. Have you tried this on unknown data to see if you could find previously unknown botnets?
That's a good question. But the problem, we are not used data for training. So even use known data, I think, because we are not used these data for training.
But you were aware of the data when you designed the algorithms. You designed those algorithms with that data set in mind.
Yeah, I think this is a good question. So currently, what I can say is that we didn't use unknown botnet to test our BotMiner. So we'll be happy to use that to detect, like if we can have any unknown botnet data, we are happy to test.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Vern Paxson. I had a similar question, which was, what was the activity, the A-plane, for your positive detections of the botnets?
What is the activity A-plane?
You correlate the A-plane and the C-plane.
Yes.
You found all the botnets you're looking for, more or less. I was wondering, what was their activity? What was their A-plane of the correlation? Yeah, what did the bots do that was A-plane?
Okay, currently we designed the following A-plane monitoring. We essentially monitor spanning events.
I know what the events are. I was asking, in your data for your evaluation, what was the actual activity that the bots did?
Oh, okay.
So presumably they did something so you could correlate them in the A-plane.
Yeah. So basically, these IRC bots, they are doing scanning. And these HP, they are basically doing spamming. And for Storm and Nugget, so Storm is basically doing spamming, and Nugget is doing scanning.
Okay. So what I wonder is sometimes the activity may or may not be that easy to detect.
Like
spamming, it depends how it's done, may or may not be, in which case you may lose some of your detective power.
I agree with you. And that's why we designed this A-plane monitoring in a very loose way, which means if they are used just for A-plane monitoring, they are weak. But they can essentially have more false positive than a normal A-plane like scan detection. But after clustering, these false positive will be reduced. Thanks.
Sven Dietrich, Stevens Institute of Technology. I have a question related to what Vern was saying. Mm-hmm. So you just mentioned Nugash here, and Nugash was doing scanning. Nugash is much more sophisticated than that. And I'm wondering which version of Nugash you use, because from reading the paper, it seems like you're using an older version, not the more recent version.
Yeah, unfortunately, so we that's the version we get, so we use the old version. We didn't test on the new version, as you mentioned.
Because the new version has more of the P2P techniques that would probably evade, probably, I don't know for sure, BotMiner.
Which is likely, but unfortunately, we didn't test. But as long as the new version still do activities and still doing communication in a similar way,
It is different, so that's why.
Okay, thanks.